Hello, friends. I'm Robert Evans, and this is once again Behind the Bastards, the show where we tell you everything you don't know about the very worst people in all of history. Our guest today is Anna Salinas, cartoonist, comedian, writer, person sitting across from me at the table.
That is my greatest qualification.
You have so many qualifications.
Yeah.
Anna, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well,
I love this show.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever heard of a guy named Keith Raniere?
I will be honest with you. I had not until about 5 minutes ago, and you did introduce him very nominally.
You're killing the movie magic, Anna.
Oh, am I really?
No, no, it's fine.
Well, now I have to keep going, I feel like. you introduced him as the founder of, how do you say it?
Nexium. So not the heartburn medication.
Truly,
but
it's the same name.
Yeah, it's spelled in like all capital letters NXIVM.
Okay.
Because they're super pretentious.
You know,
super pretentious.
I was very embarrassed when I thought it was the founder of Nexium, the heartburn medication.
No.
But upon hearing it. It's the same.
It is the same. And it's not your fault. It's their fault for naming their weird cult after a heartburn medication.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think existed before the late 90s.
I've been taking it for years.
Yeah.
And how long has the sex cult been going on?
Well, we're going to get into that today. So if you've heard of Nexium as a sex cult, it's probably because Allison Mack, a former Smallville actress, got arrested recently, along with the founder of the cult, Keith Raniere. There are a bunch of New York Times articles about it. They called it a sex cult. And so I think if that's what most people know about Nexium. Did you read the New York Times articles?
About Allison Mack?
Yeah.
I mean, no. I read probably the lead of the article.
You got that she's in some hot water.
Yeah, and I used to watch Smallville, so it was a really big shock.
Well, I want to make sure everybody listening knows, even if you read those articles that the New York Times posted and remember every word of them, 99% of this is going to be new to you. Because I started by reading those articles, and then I started digging, and it turns out there's like 30-some-odd years of stuff behind this cult.
Whoa.
And behind this guy, Keith Raniere, and he is a fascinating piece of shit. So we're going to dig into him a little bit.
Okay.
Keith Raniere and Nexium kind of first hit the public mind most recently with a New York Times article last October called Inside a Secretive Group Where Women Are Branded. The article focused on the creation.
That's a little ambiguous, where women are branded.
Branded.
Like literally branded.
Yeah, with a hot iron.
Oh my God, because when I first heard it, I thought it meant like brands.
Like branded content?
Like branded content.
Yeah, where women are like...
they're the brand of the content.
Now you're Cheetos, Anna. No, no, no.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. No. There would be like 30 to 45 minute branding sessions with a hot iron for women who were like part of a special subcult within this larger cult.
Can I ask a problematic question?
There's no non-problematic questions in this podcast.
Did they like it?
Well... you're going to get a different answer depending on who you talk to. A number of the women claimed that it was a positive experience. I think most of them were horrified at what happened. A lot of people left immediately after getting branded. They sort of like stayed there and suffered through it because they were too scared to leave. But yeah, I mean, that's part of why there's charges against both Keith and Allison Mack.
Oh, and she did the branding also?
She says she came up with the idea for women within this group to be branded.
What?
It's a wacky story.
She was acting in Smallville, and she took some of those storylines too seriously, because some of them got dark.
I never watched Smallville.
Well, Amy Adams made her debut on that show, so you missed out.
Okay. Well, you can let me know if any of these parts of the story sync up with parts of Smallville in a meaningful way.
I will.
Because that will be shocking.
And I am the expert, yes.
Okay. That's really good, then, because I know nothing about that show.
I mean, I kind of fell out towards the end once they brought in Lois, but...
so Allison Mack was not Lois.
Oh no, no. She was like a journalist. She was a truth teller. She worked for I guess it was the school paper. Gosh, people are gonna probably call me on my inaccuracies.
Well, that's a fun segue then. Because speaking of journalism, how much do you keep up with Elon Musk these days?
Only who he's dating.
Oh, then you're probably a little bit bummed.
Well, oh no.
Oh no, you like it.
That
okay,
he's dating
good.
Grimes?
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
Okay, well, that's what I was going for.
Yeah. She's, well, I don't know. I I've done a deep dive into their relationship and Grimes. She's so young.
That is weird, right?
That's the weirdest part. She looks like she's 12. I get that she's in her 20s, but she looks really young.
My favorite thing to do with Elon Musk is look at pictures of him back when they were first starting PayPal. Whoa. And he's like a chubby, schlubby guy who's gone bald.
I knew it. Because you can see it a little in his face that he used to be schlubby, mm-hmm. but like got so rich that... It's almost like the richness seeps onto his face, and you're like, he's attractive?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
There's a certain amount of money where you can just pay people to make you sure that you look good anytime you step outside.
The hair, he probably has like personal trainers and personal chefs.
Yeah. What he doesn't have is personal people to vet the news websites that he reads. Late last month, he got into a bit of a tiff with the entire independent news media and expressed his desire to create a service to rate news sites for bias, which is not an inherently problematic idea, although it's hard to imagine someone executing it in a way that wouldn't piss off at least half the country. Anyway, at some point during this whole debate, a guy named Jens Erik Gould, who's the editor-in-chief at a site called The Knife, tweeted out an article his site had written in support of Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Now, The Knife Media purports to rate mainstream news coverage on its level of bias and slant. They rated the total integrity of several articles about Elon's proposed website, none of which scored higher than 42%. Musk retweeted The Knife's analysis and called it excellent. It didn't take long for users to inform Elon that the article he praised was written by a literal cult, because The Knife Media happens to be part of the Nexium family of thingamajigs. Yeah. So Musk's initial response was that their article had better, his exact quote was, sadly, it had better critical analysis than most non-cult media, which if you're attacking non-cult media, you should back away from the argument you're making.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's only so far you can go with that. Also, by now, it's 2018. We know when we see a news source from something we don't totally recognize to be like, ugh, this is probably... I shouldn't retweet this.
And it's, I'll say this, in fairness to Musk, number one, he deleted those tweets once he, I think, did a little bit of digging. The Knife doesn't look sketchy. It looks like it's got, and it clearly does have some money behind it. The layout's fine. The site, like, it doesn't look like some crazy guy's website.
He made Teslas. Okay. He's supposed to be so smart, and he couldn't be like, huh, The Knife. I've never heard of this. Mm-hmm. And I am a adult man in my presumably 40s.
At least, right?
He's older than that, man, Grimes is creepy. That is
Wait,
creepy.
Grimes is the creepy one?
No, I mean, oh, okay. Well, no, I would never kink shame her for dating an old man, but I will shame him for dating much younger.
I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. One way or the other, you can either attack Musk for not checking on it, or you can say that this is like a message that no matter how much money someone has, we shouldn't treat them as particularly smart just because they got lucky with a company once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have been, up until now, a Musk apologist because I was really rooting for him just because, like, you know, Teslas and SpaceX, that's all cool. And then I've like heard little allegations, not little, but rumors that like he's manipulative and he can be abusive.
Yeah. And I don't know. I haven't done my research on that. And this podcast isn't going to be about Musk. So I'm going to steer us a little bit away from that. I guess the point I'm making is that if Musk got taken in by
any of us,
Keith Raniere's umbrella of madness, he's not the first relatively intelligent person for this to happen to.
No.
That's kind of the story, is Keith Raniere's really, really good at tricking smart people into thinking he's got something to say. So, Nexium, starting to read about The Knife and then Keith Raniere's, you know, the stuff with the branding of those women and the other crazy shit. Like, they would hook these women in this group up to brainwave analyzers and force them to watch videos of women being dismembered and stuff.
What?
Like, it was craziness. Like, he had.
So, was Allison Mack like a partner in all this or a late entry?
She was a late entry. Okay. So that's kind of what we're getting into. So at its core as a business, Nexium was a company that offered seminars helping business people be better at doing business. It ran a series of intensive and expensive clinics, often consisting of 5 17-hour days in a row for thousands of dollars. Everything in the clinics was based on Mr. Raniere's teachings, which amounted to a new science for how to succeed at life. So let's pull back a bit. Back before Allison Mack gets involved, back before Elon Musk gets tricked by an article, and talk about the life of the charismatic founder of Nexium, Keith Raniere. I usually believe in going straight to the source first for things like this, and as luck would have it, his website, keithraniere.com, is still up. His official biography opens with a picture of him, which we'll be putting up on our site, behindthebastards.com, so you can get a look at the guy.
Okay, this picture is not threatening.
He's a normal-looking guy, right?
He's wearing a fleece.
Yeah. You wouldn't think he was weird if you passed him on the street. He'd just be a dude.
Yeah, I think I would... I'm going to say this. I think I would trust anyone in a fleece.
Really?
Think about it.
Well, if
Donald
you're looking
Trump
at...
Trump ever wear a fleece?
Starting a cult, anyone listening to the podcast, you've got one guaranteed member if you buy a fleece.
Well, look, there's other tests, but that's the first one.
That's the first test.
I myself own a fleece from Patagonia, and when I wear it, I feel like a mom, you know?
And you trust moms, yeah.
And I trust moms, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
He looks like a, I don't know, like a guy you would find at a Gelson's supermarket.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a guy who buys really expensive cheeses.
Yeah.
And only the, like, $9 a pound grapes.
Exactly. And it's like, there's no difference between Gelson's and any other supermarket except that it's more expensive. But there's fewer people in the lines.
And you know his fleece costs like $300.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He got the special edition North Face for the super rich people.
Oh, I feel like he's a Patagonia guy.
I don't know why that touched me. I thought that was delightful. Oh, more people should have Patagonia fleeces.
Yeah, quality fleeces. We're not attacking the man's choice in fleeces.
Yeah.
I am going to start reading from his official biography now. Okay. So this is Keith Raniere on Keith Raniere.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, Keith Raniere holds many titles to his name. Scientist, mathematician, philosopher, entrepreneur, educator, inventor, and author. But perhaps the most poignant among them is that of humanitarian. He has devoted his life to studying the human psychodynamic and developing new tools for human empowerment, expression, and ethics. His endeavors share a drive to enhance human existence as he works tirelessly and joyfully to help others elevate their awareness, success, and ultimately, experience of life.
Wow. I've never heard someone who is supposedly in the line of self-help call themselves a humanitarian. That's such a stretch.
My favorite thing about it is that this is the first paragraph of his biography, and I have no idea from that what he does or has done.
Well, from that, I feel like he sounds like Elon Musk. Right? Inventor. Well,
but he's not. He doesn't say what he... Like, if Elon Musk was writing the paragraph entry, he would say, like, he's the founder of Tesla. Yeah. He helped make PayPal. Like, there would be accomplishments that you could list.
That is the red flag.
Yeah.
Vagueness.
Exactly.
If you're trying to scam people, just make up companies.
Yeah.
Don't be so vague.
Tell me what book you wrote if you're an author. Tell me what you invented if you're an inventor. Tell me what company... Like, don't just say you're all these things and give me nothing.
But also, but most of all, a humanitarian... Period. Yeah. End of paragraph.
Well, that's the most poignant of his titles.
Right.
Yeah. Which is...
The most poignant. The title that brings people to tears.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like crying a little bit. This is a safe space, Anna.
His Patagonia fleece delighted me.
Yeah.
And now his humanitarian credential makes me weep.
Well, let's get into Keith's more Keith's biography. This is sort of him going through his background, okay?
Okay.
Okay. By the age of one, so we're already off to a great start here, he could construct full sentences and questions. He was able to read by the age of two. An autodidact, he directed his learning activities to learning itself, studying its art and science in order to find optimized learning strategies and methodologies. Applying his skill to athletics, Keith Raniere excelled in judo and was an East Coast judo champion at age 11. He also excelled in numerous other sports, including volleyball, tennis, table tennis, diving, softball, cycling, and skiing. By the age of 12, he taught himself to play piano at the concert level. His passion and aptitude for music would inspire him to master many other musical instruments. He taught himself high school mathematics in 19 hours at the age of 12. Only 1 year later, he was proficient in third year college mathematics and was a professional computer programmer.
I have so many problems with this. First of all, this is like when someone's trying to beef up their college application and they're like, oh, I was captain of the cycling club. Yeah, it's like, this is all totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
you know, if the vagueness of paragraph one didn't turn you off immediately, this is crazy.
I love him bragging about being a judo champion at age 11, because that is that if I ever meet an adult human being, and one of the first things they tell me is that they were a judo champion decades ago as a small child,
you'd be like, oh, this person.
Oh, I don't want to know you.
Yeah, this is someone with no friends who's deeply looking for companionship.
Yeah. His whole thing has like the feel of that kid in elementary school who totally had an uncle that was a Navy SEAL. Only like he's clearly a mature adult.
Yes. Yeah. In my case, that was Lance, and his dad was a book author who wrote about war pilots.
Oh.
I mean, he
was
nice.
That's a weird thing to lie about.
Well, he didn't lie. He just talked about it a lot. And it was like, Lance was so boring. I almost said his last name. That would have outed him too much. He was just the most boring guy, but
because I'm
his
sure
dad
he's
was cool.
He's working at like an accounting firm right now, and this would if this information got out, it would be
if
devastating.
If I had to guess, accounting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the. But I'm sorry if there's accountants listening right now. Please keep listening to our podcast.
Accountants are great. They saved my taxes.
Yes. Yes.
It's a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're useful people.
Sure.
You know who's not a useful person? Keith fucking Raniere. So I decided I wanted to fact check his bio a little bit.
Whoa.
Such
a thing be done? Can you really know if he was a jujitsu?
Judo champion. Well, the East Coast Judo Championships are a real thing, and they do have a judo division for kids 7 to 14 years old. We know Keith Raniere was born on August 26th, 1960, because that's what he listed as his birthday in a sworn affidavit that he filed for a lawsuit in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to Google, I was able to find old issues of Black Belt magazine that gave winners of the East Coast Judo Champions, and unfortunately none of them were from 1971. So there's no...
You got so close. I thought you were going to blow the lid off of that. You are just like Allison Mack in Smallville.
Oh.
You did some
investigative reporting. Well, I did a little more. Because on his website, Keith claims to have started at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute at age 16. When I started looking into this, I found a bunch of articles from a crazy guy's website called The Frank Report. It appears to be the personal... The Frank Report. It appears to be the personal project of a man named Frank Parlato. He's a developer in Niagara Falls who worked for Nexium in 2007 and 8 and then started a news site dedicated to attacking the company and Mr. Raniere that's still going on to this day.
Oh.
It's a weird website. It has the look of like an unhinged nuts article about how the earth is flat or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the actual information in the articles is often useful. Like he does a bunch of weird Photoshop jokes and stuff like about Keith Raniere and his like he's
like clearly so bitter.
Yeah, bitter and a little unhinged, but like it's also not just nonsense. Like he provided links to the affidavit, which is where I was able to prove that Keith was lying on his bio about starting college at age 16. Because in the affidavit, he said he entered college just after his 17th birthday and then expands to say he didn't really enter college. He just started taking some college classes. So basically, he was taking AP courses in his senior year.
That's
like
stupid.
A lot of people. Yeah, he's a liar.
Yeah.
So thank you to the Frank Report for helping us bust at least one of the myths conclusively.
And kudos to Frank for having the balls to call his report his own name.
He has been doggedly... calling his news site by his own name for years now.
Yeah, you can imagine his wife or friends or, I don't know, husband were like, Frank, come on, just come up with a different name. And he's like, no, I'm going to name it Frank. Frank Report.
People need to know.
People need to know who it came from, and they need to be amused by my Photoshops.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's from the South, but
I think he lives up in, like, Albany.
Well, he moved from Tennessee, so that's why he has an accent.
Oof. Yeah. Shots fired, Tennessee.
Oh, no, it's Frank. Frank's on our side, I think.
Yeah, no, more or less. Yeah. He may have stolen $1 million, but...
What?
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Oh, God.
So this whole story, I'm trying to tell this from this point in like a chronologic point of view.
Okay.
But this is a fucking twisty-turny mess
of a tale.
I feel
like I need like a chalkboard.
It would help
drawing.
If there was a component of this podcast that was like a wall covered in pictures and pieces of string.
Yes.
But our producer, Sophie, informs me that that is not possible with podcast technology. So
wait 10 years.
Wait 10 years. Yeah.
And we'll have the holograms.
Yeah, the holograms and mm-hmm. like holographic yarn connecting pictures.
Like just like in Minority Report. Yeah,
that's the dream. So after bragging about Keith's education, his website's bio goes on to print what might be the most punchable paragraph I have ever read in my entire life.
Okay.
So buckle up. Quote, noted as one of the world's top three problem solvers, Keith Raniere was honored in 1989 by the Guinness Book of World Records in the category of highest IQ. He has an estimated problem-solving rarity of 1 in 425 million with respect to the general population. He has intellectual patents pending in the areas of human potential and ethics, expression, voice and musical training, athletic performance, commerce, education, and learning, information processing, and human modeling. He also holds several technological patents on computer inventions and a sleep guidance system.
That's so clearly fake. Yes. That's so clearly fake.
It is a bucket of nonsense. But these are things that you will see as patterns as we go along here. He loves being really specific about how great he is in a totally nonsensical way, because there's no problems solving rarity of 1 in 400. That's
he's
nothing.
He's making up words.
Yeah, that's just insanity.
Yeah.
It's very important to Keith that people understand just how smart he is. On the website for his main business, Executive Success Programs, Keith writes that he was accepted into the Mega Society in 1988, which is some nerd society that requires a demonstrated IQ of 176 or higher, which is an intellectual performance of 1 in a million level of rarity. As proof, he cites an article from late 1989 titled Troy Man Has a Lot on His Mind, IQ Test Proves What Many Suspected. He's 1 in 10 million. So I searched for this article, and uh-huh. I didn't find it, but I found a plain text website that has the article posted on it. So we're going to get into Keith Raniere's IQ a little bit when we come back, but we do have to break for some ads. So if you have an intellectual problem-solving capacity of 1 in 425 million, which all of our listeners do, these ads will help you solve problems.
Okay.
Buy things. And we're back. We're talking about Keith Raniere and his IQ. So I was just telling you that he cited an article from 1989 that covered his joining into the Mega Society. So I found a plain text copy of this website. There's a lot of cringeworthy quotes in here, but here's another one of them.
Okay.
He's not your stereotypical genius. Watchful blue eyes look out from behind aviator glasses. His brown hair is parted stylishly in the middle. He has the physique of an athlete, which he is. He was East Coast judo champion at age 12, tied with the state record for the 100-yard dash, is an avid skier, swimmer, and windsurfer. He says he plays 7 musical instruments and also sings high tenor in local musical productions.
Well, that is also fake.
Like, at first, when I found it hosted on a plain text website, I was like, Keith Raniere just lied and made up an article.
Yes.
But the actual website that hosts it is some dude who's obsessed with IQ tests, who has cataloged every article about IQ tests for the last, like, 40 years.
Whoa.
And I think he just typed up news clippings he had and hosted them online.
Wow.
It's an exercise in madness, but I don't think Keith faked it. I do think he lied to this journalist, and it wasn't a good journalist who just like said, of course he's telling the truth. Look at how smart this piece of paper says
he is.
He
even like tilts his hand a little and is like, he says this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's possible Keith actually is a member of the Mega Society and has a very high IQ. However, Keith also claims the 1989 Guinness Book of World Records honored him for having the highest IQ. That is clear and provable nonsense, because Marilyn Vos Savant had the highest recorded IQ and was in the Guinness record for that from 1986 through 89.
I don't even believe this man has had an IQ test.
Yeah, I could totally see that being a lie from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because in the 1980s, you could say anything.
You could. People couldn't Google it.
Yeah, in
they
Albany.
Catch you.
The Albany random newspaper isn't going to check shit.
No one was looking.
No.
And I don't know. The way this guy writes, he doesn't sound very smart.
He doesn't, right?
He sounds like someone who's pretending to be smart.
We're going to listen to him later. I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
But we're going to listen to him later. He clearly has a type of intelligence, just like Donald Trump has a type of intelligence.
Yes,
otherwise, he wouldn't be able to do what he does.
It's very comparable.
But he is not a genius in the sense that, like, he's able to usefully add to the human experience for
people. No, but what an interesting thing to get people, and I guess Trump does this too, by being like, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah. And he does it in such a almost more frustrating way.
Yeah.
Like Keith does it. Like his focus on like, I have this IQ. I am this much rare. My brain is so this rare in the world. I'm one of the three greatest problem solvers on the planet.
Yeah.
Which is even more nonsense than
he. Yeah. He reminds me of what we used to do in speech and debate in high school. Did you ever?
Oh, I was a speech and debate kid for 4 years.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah.
What did you do?
LD. I did a lot of Lincoln Douglas debate.
Well, I did extemp. Oh boy,
you were one of those kids.
And what you learned in extemp was, you know, you gave a speech mm-hmm. for 7 minutes extemporaneously, and what you learned is to just make up things.
Yeah.
And to say them with confidence. And no one would ever know the difference because these were just parents.
Yeah.
He sounds like how we sounded.
Yeah.
Making up those. But also, like, looking back, it's like, nah, the adults knew it was fake. We just, I don't know. I once gave a whole speech about, is Macedonia going back to civil war?
Oh, wow. Were they?
I don't know.
How's Macedonia doing these days?
I made up everything from the beginning to the end.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I thought I did great, but looking back, well, it was not unlike that bio.
No, I mean, the great, like, if you're a student of history, the most important lesson of history is that if you get up and you lie with confidence, most people will buy it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just human history from, like, 10,000 BC to now. If you just get up and you're full of shit. Like, LD debate was a lot of that. Like,
was it really? I always regarded debate as, like, the smart ones.
There's a lot of research involved, but in a pinch,
yeah,
lying will do the trick sometimes, especially if you're like me, like a tall white guy. Because if you're a tall white guy and you say things with confidence, people just tend to trust you.
It's true.
It's amazing.
It's like when I saw Keith in the fleece, I was like, I guess I trust him off of this.
I mean, look at this guy. He looks like he's someone who talks avidly about hiking.
Yeah, show me a woman who looks exactly like me, and I'll be like, oh, I don't trust her. No.
Oh boy. Okay. Well. Moving right along, Keith claims to have started his first business in 1984. He called it the Concept School, and then later the Life Learning Institute. Again, Keith gives almost no details as to what these businesses were. This is all from the affidavit, which mm-hmm. I'm using because he presumably lied less in it because it would be perjury, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm using the affidavit so much.
Yeah, that's smart.
In order to start these businesses, he claims he distilled a lifetime of careful thought and his genius intellect into their creation, but he never actually says what they did. These first ventures wound up closing due to irreconcilable differences between Keith and his backers. So this is 1984.
Which is code for he couldn't return on the money.
Yeah, he wasn't actually doing anything. Keith did get up to something else in 1984, though. Molesting teenagers. yeah.
Oh, he was a little busy. He had a new hobby.
He's getting up to, He was living in an apartment building in Troy when he met Gina Melita. She was 15 and he was 24. They struck up a friendship and went to the arcade together. Ranieri was obsessed with Pac-Man and a game called Vanguard. He told her he was a genius and a judo champion, which he loves bringing up that judo championship.
Yeah, why?
Which, again, nothing against martial arts. Fine way to stay fit. Great pastime. If you brag about the martial arts that you do,
don't let it be judo.
That is the immediate. Well, that's also just the immediate, like, oh, okay, I'm going to disregard you as a person.
Yeah.
If the first thing you say to me is bragging about your martial arts career, and we're not like at a martial arts competition or something,
I immediately doubt it. First of all, and I wonder if he said it just because it was like, yeah, I'm tough.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. I could fight.
I can judo.
I couldn't fight in a. Maybe it's like no one knows judo, so they could never challenge him.
Yeah.
So it was like safe.
Yeah, because I wouldn't know how to be like, okay, well, how do you, good yeah. are you at judo or
Let's
whatever?
Let's brawl.
Yeah.
Let's judo.
Yeah. So he tells the 15-year-old girl that was great at judo at 11, and then he takes her virginity. They had what some sources call a relationship, and I think what the law calls statutory rape, off and on for about 4 months.
Okay.
Keith Ranieri told her not to tell her mother and also urged her to lose weight because she was too fat for him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's going to be a pattern, too.
This sounds a lot like Trump.
They're not as different as I think he would want to be seen as.
Yeah, the weight thing?
Mm-hmm. Although he's a big Randian. Ayn Rand. Big fan of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Keith met another girl in 1984 also. Her name is Gina Hutchinson. She was 16. They started having sex. When Gina's sister Heidi found out, she confronted Keith Raniere. Quote, Heidi said Raniere told her that she did not understand her sister's soul was much older than her biological age. He explained Gina was a Buddhist goddess meant to be with him. So,
there aren't goddesses in Buddhism.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different little sects, but I'm going to guess this is just bullshit. I mean, it's obviously bullshit, but I'm going to guess he was just lying about Buddhist goddesses existing anywhere.
Man, what a thing to tell someone.
Yeah.
You look, I know it looks bad, but their soul's really old.
Yeah.
And I can see it.
Their soul's really old and Buddhist.
And Buddhist.
So that makes this fine.
Yeah, as if just that alone would make the sister be like, huh? Well, I did never notice that.
He did say Buddha's name.
Yeah.
I guess he's fine. That quote was from the Albany Times Union, which has done a lot of good reporting on Keith Raniere.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you work for the Albany Times Union, congrats. Anyway, none of the rapes are mentioned in Keith's official bios, obviously, or the affidavit. He claims that during this time, he decided he was called on to teach people his remarkable theories on learning. I'm going to quote from the affidavit here. To test my theories and earn money, I became an independent contractor for several marketing and sales organizations. With one organization that had more than 200,000 representatives nationally, I was able to personally recruit and train, using my motivational methodology, 6 of the 10 top producers in a month. He doesn't give the name of the company he was working for, probably because it's a lie.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is a big Keith Raniere move.
Yeah, just say the thing without being specific.
Say the thing you did, like people who have accomplished things do.
Yeah.
Like, you can still be kind of a scammer and have a, like, but you just say, like, I did this thing.
Yeah.
Like, even Donald Trump, people say, I built this building. I ran this company.
Yeah.
I ran this company. Like, Keith Raniere, there's never anything specific.
It's, any mention, but it worked.
Clearly.
People listened. Mm-hmm. They were usually younger, though, I assume.
Yeah.
Or at least in this actual way.
Yeah. So he wound up quitting that unnamed organization because he says they didn't gel with his ethical foundations, which he never elaborates on, never tells us what those ethical foundations are.
Oh, God.
But, you know, by the time the 80s are over, he has sort of started to settle on a new thing that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another quote from the affidavit. In 1990, I held a meeting with 4 of my friends in my living room to determine the principled structure of a new business. We called this business Consumers Buy Line, which, like, buy as in purchase.
Okay.
And officially started business on May 1st. The business was based on my projective human model with ethics, which does not tell you anything about what the business is. It was a multi-level marketing scam. It was a pyramid scheme.
Oh.
People would pay $200+ for access to discount buying groups, which were supposed to give them access to cheaper groceries and stuff. But if they signed up other people, then they'd get monthly commissions.
Okay.
The grocery discount program was canceled, but the company kept charging people for it, and they didn't actually pay people for selling memberships either. Eventually, they had something like 250,000 members, but also were paying out millions in legal fees because they were defrauding tons of people.
Very brazen. Brazenly defrauding people.
Very brazenly defrauding people.
Like, they're gonna complain that they're not getting paid.
Yeah, but if you keep getting enough new members fast enough to pay the legal fees,
right,
Keith Raniere can live well.
Yeah.
So in 1990, the year that Keith and his friends came up with Consumers Buy Line, Keith also allegedly sexually assaulted a 12-year-old.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is a pattern for him. This anonymous girl was the child of a saleswoman who worked for the Consumers Buy Line. According to the Times Union, her mother called Keith Raniere an Einstein. Quote, Raniere would call staff meetings to deliver sometimes tearful, emotional messages. He frequently showed a film about a man who plants seeds in the desert to build a forest. He suggested he was that type of noble cultivator of people, which, the desert's the desert. Don't plant seeds in it. It doesn't need trees.
I mean,
like, not that it doesn't have.
I wonder what that video was.
Yeah.
Like, did they stitch it together and make it seem like the guy did it?
Yeah.
Like, he planted a whole forest in the desert?
I don't know. It makes me, like, if I was going to do that, it would be like, I'm gonna start an ocean in the desert. I'm just going to start dropping fish and water.
Yeah.
And eventually we'll have us an ocean. It's like, no, that's not what it is.
That doesn't work. But, like, if I were in his shoes, I think I would just show people a real documentary.
Yeah, about an actual inspiring person.
Yeah.
Of whom there are.
And, like, jump on that train.
Yeah. So he apparently, you know, saw himself as a man who was planting seeds, and he apparently decided to molest this 12-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. So Keith Raniere told the girl's mom, who idolized him, that he wanted to tutor her daughter. At the same time, Keith's girlfriend apparently hired the young lady as a dog walker. The girl alleges that Keith started by showering her with attention and then quickly moved on to molesting her. Quote, they told me I was smart and took an interest in me. They let me spend every afternoon at their house, she said. It was exciting to be somewhere people wanted me. I was perfect picking and secure at the time. To have someone that mature and that well thought of be interested in me, it was flattering. I was young and experienced, overwhelmed and out of my league. Yeah, so Keith continued to have sex with her for quite some time. In his townhouse, in empty offices, in an elevator, in a broom closet at the plaza that hosted the consumer's byline. She claims the relationship went on for about a year with at least 60 individual sexual encounters. In 1993, she reported it to the police but withheld her name. The report didn't go anywhere. It's hard to say why, since police in the capital region of New York purged all their files in the late 1990s. So nothing happened.
How can nothing happen off of that?
I mean, that's the case with Cosby and with Weinstein. Yeah, it's always nothing happening.
They don't
happening
go anywhere
for a long time. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. We're in such a radically different moment right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This was still the dark ages for that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's weird how, like, this idea of telling a young girl she's smart and showering her with attention. As shitty as that is, I feel like that's still so common on college campuses and at high schools.
Yeah.
With teachers kind of coming up toward that line.
I mean, it works for everybody. Because high schools, if you're a thoughtful, smart person, usually not your favorite time.
Yeah.
It's rough for a lot of kids. And if an adult who is well thought of says that, like, you're special and takes an interest in you,
mm-hmm.
like, that can be a big deal.
Yeah, because you feel misunderstood.
Yeah,
you're doing Lincoln Douglas debate, which a lot of people probably thought wasn't cool.
Certainly did not, get you dates.
I'll tell you one thing: speech and debate at my high school got you dates. We had no sports, so it was like the. I thought it was like the sports team.
Yeah, I grew up in Texas, so it was one of those, like, you know, if you're on the football team, you can murder people, but if you're anything else, they didn't really care all that much. Anyway, you remember that girl Gina from before?
Yeah.
Okay, so Keith convinced her to drop out of high school. This is during the same time he's dating that 12-year-old.
Oh.
He convinced a 16-year-old to drop out of high school, promising mm-hmm. he would tutor her. The two had kept seeing each other, and Gina's family assumed they would marry. She turned 17 at some point during this, which was the age of consent, so he was no longer statutory raping her. He was just a creepy man in his 30s dating a high schooler.
It's weird that is a line that exists. Like,
yeah,
it's fine now.
Guess it's not a crime anymore.
She's
welcome
over
to
17.
The family. Yeah. It's hard to say exactly how long their sexual relationship continued. She did eventually start going to college, and Keith reportedly got angry when male teachers would praise her for being smart.
Oh.
Because he's an abusive prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we're getting that aspect of him.
Yeah. Good for her for going to college.
Good for her for going
to
college. Not a story that ends happily, but
oh, no.
We'll move on for right now.
Oh, no.
So when you dig into Keith's life, you get essentially two stories. There's the Keith story of what happened and the everything else that you can actually back up with objective evidence story of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So in the everybody else version of reality, Keith spends the early 90s building a pyramid scheme and molesting young girls. His pyramid scheme falls apart in 1993, which is also the year that he gets reported to the cops for molesting another girl. Which I think we're up to four now, three?
Mm-hmm.
That's when investigations, in 1983, his pyramid scheme collapses because investigations by 23 states and two federal agencies determine that the consumer's byline is, in fact, a pyramid scheme. So Keith can't do that scheme anymore, and he has to find another scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Keith's version of reality, he just used his experience running a totally legit and awesome business, which was super successful, and then sadly had to shut down due to people's bigoted ideas of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He used that experience, though, to learn about people. He was studying human beings the whole time he was working
at
the consumer byline.
He's a humanitarian in his work in mm-hmm. exploring
and a scholar.
Human psyche.
And a scholar. And a judo
scholar.
Champion. Don't you forget that.
I was leading up to that.
Good.
I was going in order of importance.
Good. When we get out of here today and someone asks, who are you talking about today? You'll say Keith Raniere. And they'll say, what's that guy? And you'll say, he was pretty fucking good at judo 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll say, sounds legit.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Where can I give him my money?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I'll say, just Venmo me.
Just. If you get the fleece, you can make that work.
I own the fleece.
Well, you got to be wearing it.
But I'm not. I don't look like You and Keith.
Whoa. Well, okay.
You
All
know,
right, that's fair.
I don't know if I can pull off a period scheme. People are too suspicious of women.
Well, yeah, that's probably fair. Okay, so Keith spent his time running a pyramid scheme and molesting girls, also learning about humanity. And he discovered, in his own claims, that minds work the same way as computers, only using words instead of numbers to program them. So he built a new form of communication called rational inquiry, and the R and the I are always capitalized, and it's always followed by a trademark sign.
Oh.
Oh, no, this is serious shit we're dealing with here.
Okay.
Don't you dare dismiss rational inquiry.
It sounds like a thing.
Can you hear the capitals when I say it? The capital
the
letters?
First time I didn't.
Okay.
But then when you said it again, I did.
Rational inquiry.
Now, yes.
Okay,
now it
good.
Sounds like a patented line of
TM.
Something.
CM. RM. I don't understand trademark law.
I don't either.
Okay, so you're probably wondering, what is rational inquiry? I've got a quote from Keith Raniere trying to explain it here. Quote, it enabled a person to find a common understanding with others and to logically build a belief system that matched a person's subjective world. Highly individual, yet consistent. Using this model, people seem to understand themselves and each other better. Do you get what rational inquiry is now?
Talking?
That is 100% of what Keith Raniere does, is talk very quickly and throw out a bunch of big words.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into the opus of Keith's life, the main venture that would define most of his time on this earth and would be his most successful project, Nexium. But before we get into Nexium, we need to go talk about ads for products that are actual things that you can buy rather than nonsense words said by a child molester. So please buy some products. We're back and we're talking about Keith Raniere, humanitarian, judo champion, businessman, and molester of multiple children.
Okay, he has a lot more credentials than that.
You're right, but we only have so much time.
That's true.
And I feel like I've read multiple lists of his credentials at this
cyclist,
point.
Cyclist, inventor.
Cyclist. So at this point, Keith's first business may have been a gigantic and possibly criminal disaster, but he'd sowed the seeds of his next venture, obviously, Nexium. In 1998, Keith met a lady named Nancy Salzman, who he described as, in the affidavit, as an international authority on human potential, which...
What? How can you be an international authority on potential?
What do you do for a living? Oh, you know, I write for television. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an accountant. I'm an expert on human potential.
It's like going up to everyone and being like, you can be anything you want. Or is it the opposite, going up to people and being like, I think dentist.
I feel like it's just reminding people of what human beings can do.
Yeah.
Like everybody's sitting around talking about how to like build a road and you're like, you know, we landed a man on the moon at one point.
We could build a road. That is definitely what it is.
Bunch of executives are trying to figure out a new flavor of Doritos and you're like, you know, human beings made the Holocaust happen. Just, you know, just reminding people of
right,
what the human potential is.
Right, because potential can go either
way. Yeah, yeah. Potential can go either way. And it's important that the Doritos people not fly too close to the sun.
It is, because they've been flying real close lately.
I know. Cool Ranch, we were never meant to have it.
No.
We can't handle it.
I also hate Doritos. Cool Ranch is a disgusting line of chips in a sea of terrible chips.
I just want to note to all the listeners that it is not the official standpoint of this podcast that Cool Ranch Doritos aren't delicious.
No, I understand many people like them, but...
We're just trying to get the Cool Ranch people to put some ad dollars our way.
Oh, yeah? Do they sponsor a lot of podcasts?
I don't know, but we could be the first.
Yeah.
And I just want people to know, if there is anyone from Doritos listening, please have a Doritos-tastic day.
Yes.
Mm. God, I love a good Dorito. Anyway, back to Keith Raniere.
Yes. A good segue. Speaking of
super
chips.
Clear. Speaking of chips. Speaking of cheesy flavor. So he met this lady, Nancy Salzman, international authority on human potential. He tutored her for 6 months on the techniques of his new breakthrough learning science, and then the two started Nexium. At this point, you may be wondering, what the fuck was Nexium? Well, Nexium was an umbrella company, and its main initial purpose was to host professional development seminars focused around executive success programs, all caps again, devised by Ranieri and Salzman. You're probably still wondering what the fuck any of that means. This is by design, and the affidavit Ranieri had to file, he claims that the basis for the training was a 12-point copyrighted mission statement. The actual text of that mission statement is a trade secret, and you aren't allowed to know what it says unless you pay to take the class, at which point you're required to sign a confidentiality agreement promising not to tell anyone about it.
Oh, that's so sneaky.
So again, if you are sitting at home wondering what the fuck is he actually doing, it's impossible to know.
No.
Well, it's not impossible because we have some inside data, but we did some digging on this shit.
Did people break their NDAs in the course of this investigation?
And how?
Ooh.
And these aren't NDAs, they're confidentiality agreements. Oh. So we're not talking about like a Weinstein level where like somebody who has very smart lawyers is drawing up actual ironclad legal documents. We'll get into what these are in a little bit. So what happened in these executive success programs? Thankfully, we have reports from actual attendees. The following quotes are from a woman who showed up at one of these seminars in 2007 after being urged to do so by professionals she admired. The whole process started when the class received, quote, a document entitled Rules and Rituals, which informed us to never speak of any of our experiences in ESP. Attendees were also told to, quote, remove our shoes, bow, and pay tribute to founder Keith Ranieri. There was a lengthy explanation of how to perform a perfect handshake, as well as the ESP secret handshake, an explanation of how different colored sash hierarchy works, which seems based entirely on recruitment rather than any measurable skill set, and the request that Keith Ranieri was to be referred to as Vanguard and Nancy Salzman as Prefect. So, first off, the game that Keith Ranieri played to impress the teenager he fucked was Vanguard. I just think that's interesting.
Oh.
Don't know if there's a connection there, but
maybe.
Weird, right?
It's weird that people have to take off their shoes and bow to him.
That is weird, huh?
Like,
yeah.
That's weird, but then I started thinking, I've been an assistant for various bosses, and you start to do weird stuff that you kind of normalize where it's like, well, this person is above me. I have to please them.
Yeah.
If I please them, things will go well. I guess what I'm saying is I'm the kind of person that would be in a cult.
Well, you might be able to join this cult still, depending on how the court cases go.
Okay.
But there's a lot to dig into in that paragraph. And I do want to talk about the handshake thing for a little bit. Because
back
in 2003, cult expert Rick Ross received several internal Nexium training documents from a disgruntled attendee. He had them analyzed by cult experts, including Dr. Paul Martin, a licensed clinical psychologist. This is where the affidavit comes from, because Keith sued Rick Ross saying that he was exposing Nexium's trade secrets. He lost, and so the stuff is still up there, and now we have quotes from several sections of the ESP training manuals and guidelines, including Keith Ranieri's explanation of how to shake hands. Are you ready to learn how to shake some fucking hands?
Yeah.
Okay. Quote, handshaking is a sign of respect and affords us an opportunity to make direct physical contact with others. We believe that many of society's problems have developed because people have come to view each other as objects rather than human beings. So far, not entirely insane.
Spoken from a man who has sex with 12-year-olds.
Spoken from a child molester. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, society is fucked up because people don't make direct physical contact enough. That's an arguable point.
Okay.
Although creepy from the mouth of a child molester.
It is super creepy, but I'm listening.
Here in ESP, we use a two-handed handshake. This conveys warmth and a sense of community. Placement of the left hand denotes rank. Individuals of higher rank place their left hand on the top. Individuals of the same rank shake vertically. Lower rank places the left hand on bottom. So, simultaneously, society is fucked up because we don't spend enough time connecting with each other, but also shaking someone's hand should be a sign of dominance.
Wow. You know what? It makes sense, though, because he still had to maintain this illusion that, like, he is always superior.
Exactly. And you've got to reinforce that by changing the way people
shake hands.
But
what's also crazy is handshakes are that in real life.
Only with people who are lame.
Okay. Make that argument. But I am not, I'm not much of a toucher. I am not much of a handshaker. I feel like it's very awkward, even a hugger.
Yeah.
But
it's fine.
When someone goes in to hold your hand, not to hold, but to shake it, and they have a steady, stern grip, there's a little part of you that's like, oh.
A steady grip, but not like a crushing grip or anything like that. Like, I spent some time, you know, working as a war correspondent for a while in a couple of different places, and okay. I met a lot of really formidable human beings, and none uh-huh. of them did the, like, crush your hand. It was always just, like, a short, like okay. firm, but it was never, like... Like, the people I've met who have always, like, really gone into it and, like, gripped yeah. the hand, like, they're always lame. They're always, yeah. like, sad little men who That's don't have true. Any other way to
if
feel
you
powerful.
You have to overcompensate. Yeah. Yeah. I bet Keith had a very crushing...
I bet Keith tried to fucking rip your hand apart. Yeah. Yeah. So, there is a detailed explanation for how to shake hands.
Okay.
And you tell me if this gives you any... good information on handshaking, because I can't understand what the fuck he's going for here.
Okay.
Crux of the hand is the portion of the hand between the thumb and forefinger where they form a right angle. Wrist cock refers to the angle of the wrist, which can be used to gain control of the handshake. It is important to control the cock of the wrist slightly down as you move into the handshake. Positioning of the feet determines dominance. Stepping into the handshake with the right foot creates a more dominant position, expressing strength for the handshaker. Stepping into the handshake with the left foot will be perceived by both people as a more passive expression. The middle and ring fingers are used to gain control of the handshake.
Okay. I get it now. I get... Is this still rational inquiry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. It's hard to say where one part ends and the
All
other begins.
All he's doing is taking ways that people interact and explaining them as if you've never heard of it.
Yeah, like you're an alien. But
as
also
if you are an alien.
Making stuff up, because never in my life have I thought about where my feet are in a handshake. Or been no. like, that guy stepped forward with his left foot. He's showing submission. Yes!
No, and I feel like I should acknowledge the fact that something can be said for, like, the way we stand and the way we sit subconsciously. Like, when you, and this is something I've heard in all that, like, lean-in talk for women, but... when you stand in a powerful stance and put your sure. shoulders back, that can affect your confidence.
Absolutely.
But this, the way he's explaining it is not like, feel more confident. It's very...
dominance.
This is how to dominate the other person.
This is how to take control of the handshake.
Yeah.
Which, so sad.
Ugh.
Yeah. These leaked documents are also how we know the exact content of the confidentiality pledge that attendees were forced to recite.
Mm-hmm.
The methods and information I learn in ESP are for my use only. I will not speak of them or in any way give others knowledge of them outside ESP. Part of the condition of being accepted into ESP is to keep all its information confidential. If I violate this, I am breaking a promise and breaching my contract. But more importantly, I am compromising my inner honesty and integrity.
You know you're doing something embarrassing. When everyone's like, yeah, but let's not tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah, let's not.
No, there's every great thing people are a part of includes a confidentiality pledge.
Yeah, anytime someone says that to me, I immediately want to tell the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you don't get to tell me that.
I feel like that's why some of these documents leaked.
Yeah, like, whoa, this is weird. I'm going to tell everyone.
Going back to the experiences of the lady we were quoting earlier who attended an ESP course and wrote about it, she also reported hearing an awful lot of nonsense about Keith Raniere's IQ. Quote, at times it was 211, at other times it jumped to 240, depending on who was praising his amazingness. Attendees were forced to watch a video of Nancy Salzman where she insisted that Vanguard was one of only two or three people in the world who could solve all of the planet's problems. So this attendee actually sat through the whole session and says that she benefited from some of the exercises in the course once the instructor got done praising Keith Raniere. It does sound like there might be vaguely useful stuff buried in the nonsense, but the session ended with a two-hour lecture on why ESP wasn't a cult, which is the number one warning sign that something is a cult.
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys. This isn't a cult. It's going to get a little weird, but it's just how we do things.
We're just worshiping a man who makes us isolate ourselves from society and our family, but it's not a cult.
No,
okay?
I wonder if this guy had any experience with Scientology.
Oh, boy. He sure did.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah. No, Scientology. So we'll get into some of this a little bit, but everything that he's done is essentially a melange of Ayn Rand.
Okay.
Ayn Rand's philosophy and Scientology. Including using some of the terms from Scientology.
Worst things to mash up.
Yeah, it's libertarian Scientology.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, buckle up. So the session ended with a two-hour lecture on why ESP wasn't a cult. The attendee who wrote that report noted that a majority of the other attendees seemed to be women under 25 who did not have a lot of self-confidence.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, her report doesn't go into an awful lot of detail about the contents of the class, but fortunately, we do have direct quotes from Nexium's source material. First off, here's an actual definition from the class of rational inquiry. Rational inquiry is a science based on the belief that the more consistent a person is in their thinking, the more successful the individual will be.
That's bullshit.
Well,
that is, in keeping with vagueness, that is the vaguest way to talk about human thinking.
Yeah.
Just be consistent.
Which also, that's bullshit, because if you've ever worked a creative job, you know, one of the keys to being effectively creative in a productive way is to change your circumstances and situation, mind state and whatnot, so that you can have, you know,
what
better ideas.
What does consistent even mean in this context?
Yeah, consistency is great if you're making car engines.
Yeah.
It's not great if you're a creative person trying to make a creative product.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. Keith Raniere does go into more detail about what rational inquiry is. So we'll see if by the end of this paragraph you have any fucking idea what his breakthrough science is.
Okay.
All adults have disintegrations because when they were children, learning to be adults and learning about the world, our perspective was based on the perception, intellect, and wisdom of a small child. These lessons become the foundation of our whole adult reality. Rational inquiry lets you re-examine these childhood beliefs from an adult perspective. So Keith Raniere claims he invented growing up.
Yeah. You... What? Literally all he's doing is taking things people do anyway and naturally and giving them a bad name.
Yeah, giving them a bad name. Yeah, claiming that like yes, of course, we all learn things about the world that aren't true as children.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is childhood.
But I can see, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I can see the way that this like grasps at the edges of like psychoanalysis and question what you know to be reality, but in the like most useless of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see how anyone could benefit in a major way from this stuff, but I can see how, because then this is something you'll see when we play some of his audio later. He will start with like, this is an act like citing an actual concept in psychology or in developmental psychology or whatever.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And for a minute or two, he'll say something that's not nonsense, and he'll use that actual fact to make the nonsense that comes later sound like it's got some basis in science, as opposed to just Keith Raniere being full of shit.
Okay.
So let's discuss the mission statement of Nexium. If you remember from the affidavit, Keith stated that his mission statement was so important that he had to sue a guy over it. Here's how Dr. Martin, who's one of the experts Rick Ross had review the materials, described the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
The first point is, success is an internal state of clear, honest knowledge of what I am, my value in the world, and my responsibility for the way I react to things. The second point is, there are no ultimate victims, therefore I will not choose to be a victim. There's a pledge to purge oneself of all parasite and envy-based habits. There's a pledge to control as much of the money of the world as possible within each student's success plan. Quote, a world of successful people will be a better world, and indeed a world devoid of hunger, theft, dishonesty, envy, and insecurity. People will no longer try to destroy each other and steal from each other or rejoice at another's demise. Success, ethics, and integrity are co-inspirational. I pledge to share and enroll people in ESP and its mission for myself to help make the world a better place to live.
Man, the parallels to Trump are so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see how offering people a way to empower themselves out of perceived victimhood could be enticing, but then tacking on, and I'm going to make you super rich.
Not just that, but the best thing, you know, if you're an ethical person, you look at it, all the fucked up shit in the world, and you're like, oh my God, what could I do? He's saying the best thing you can do for the world is to make a shitload of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so broken. It's sad. Poor women.
It's the way of, I mean, if like not to compare Keith Raniere to fucking Hitler, because they're not very similar people, but it's the same, it's the same thing. Like if you can tell a group of young people how special they are and make them feel special, they'll do almost anything for you.
But on the other hand, I certainly have been in that position numerous times, like in high school, having a mentor who was a senior at the time who seemed so politically smart and led all the protests on campus. And then looking back, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was just kind of getting off on having a lot of people look up to him.
Yeah. And it's easy then, because you're in a very small pond. You don't need to know that much about the world to Keith didn't need to know that much. He just needed to be better at talking than these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course make them pay thousands of dollars to attend his classes. Because there is a sunk cost fallacy going on here.
Right.
The 5-day intensive ESP course cost $2,700. There was a 3-day intensive for $1,200 and a 16-day course, which one assumes had to run at least $7,000 or $8,000. So you're paying this guy a lot of money. You're going to be more inclined to believe he's not full of shit.
Right. Yeah, you got to protect yourself.
Exactly.
Say what you will about improv, but it's cheaper than that.
Yes. Yes. Do improv.
Improv comedy cheaper than ESP classes.
The healthiest cult you could join is improv.
Yeah. Maybe CrossFit is a notch above it.
Well, but people poop themselves a lot doing CrossFit.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a real factor.
But they look great. Oh, if you know someone who got super into CrossFit, they look excellent.
They do look great, yeah. A cornerstone of the intensive classes was working to shed parasitic behaviors, which, you know, we already quoted a little bit. Examples of such behavior included complaining about pain, expressing hunger, and statements like, "I know I promised, but I had no idea how hard or painful this was going to be."
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Keith Raniere, probable child molester, also gave new definitions of the words good and bad. Quote, "When we were little children, we learned bad when someone yelled, 'No,' or 'That's bad, stop.' We learned good when we were rewarded in some way. This sort of learning is inconsistent and limiting, because in order to have a full understanding of each concept, we would have to examine every example of good and every example of bad. This practice session affords you the opportunity to reevaluate your definitions of these vital concepts to form a solid foundation for the future." Which is...
Sounds like someone who's going to do something bad.
Sounds like someone's going to do something bad and tell you it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there's probably no creepier thing than saying it's parasitic to tell someone that you don't want to do something because it's painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. We already talked about how there are long lectures about how Nexium wasn't a cult. Keith does, in his training manuals, define the word cult. Quote, "This is a label that conveys no meaning but devalues the group. It is designed to keep people away from the group without saying what is wrong with it. Example, that's a cult."
Classic example.
Classic example.
That's a cult.
They also call anyone who doubts Nexium or anyone who breaks faith and tells other people at the classes a suppressive, which is straight out of Scientology.
Yeah.
I could go on about executive success program training all day, but we have so much more ground to cover. Mm-hmm. I do want to point out just how careful Keith was to stay just on this side of not making legally fraudulent claims about his services. So I'm going to play a selection from a video Keith made called "What Executive Success Programs Does," where he claims his seminars have supernatural healing powers in the weaselest way possible. And we will be posting links to all these videos on the site if you guys want to see Keith Raniere's creepy face, but you'll get a lot out of hearing his creepy voice.
And I will say, within the thousands of people who've gone through, we've had some incredibly, you might call it, strange or wonderful happenings. And you could easily hold that up and say, oh, you know, we changed this condition. There was one person who in one of our intensives, for whatever reason, grew like 3/4 of an inch. They had some sort of release, I think, in their spine or their posture. Who knows what? Yeah. Now, that could have happened on the playground. That doesn't necessarily happen from us. That would be at best a case study, an inadvertent case study. We certainly haven't done a double blind study, can we?
Yeah.
You know?
That's an interesting
But you have something like that, and should we hold that up as a poster child and whatever? No, because I'm sure there are many activities. Public school has probably had more than we have of those sort of things. Mm-hmm. So when people get really good results from us, yes, we do take testimonials at times or whatever, but we look at those results ideally as an effect of really the answer to the question, do you have more joy in your life? We would have been very satisfied with our results with you if you kept your full-blown Tourette's and all of that sort of thing, but came out saying, you know something? Life's better for me.
So that guy is claiming that Keith cured his Tourette's.
Tourette's.
Yeah. But no, but that's not what we're saying the course does. We're just saying this guy took the course, and we're not saying it'll make you taller, but it did happen to this one guy.
Yeah, it's smart. Again, it's a Trump tactic. But I didn't get it when I just heard the written version of him. But hearing that, he does know how to speak.
He's very good at speaking.
Bringing it back, like, he was literally spouting bullshit. Mm-hmm. You said it best, like, supernatural capacity of the course. Like, you know, you didn't make someone grow.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
But to bring it back to, like, this question of, did we bring more joy into your life? That's laser focused at manipulating people.
Yeah, and Keith Raniere, whatever else you can say about him, is a genius at manipulating people.
Yeah.
And this brings us to the end of the part one of our two-part series on Keith Raniere. This wound up being like an 8,000-word thing that I wrote for this, so we have a lot more to cover. When we come back on Thursday, we're going to talk about the first news articles that started to uncover the terrible story of Keith Raniere back in the early 2000s. And yes, we will get to more detail about the branding and all of that horrible shit. And we will also have some really weird videos of Keith Raniere and Alex and Mac. So, get ready for that on Thursday. Until then, Anna, do you want to plug your pluggables?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. I make a webcomic. It's Bad Comics with an X by Anna with two N's. I make comics about depression, anxiety, and cheese, because I am lactose intolerant. And you can find me on Twitter at Bad Comics by Anna.
Her comics are actually good.
Thank you.
We've gotta throw that in for legal reasons.
Oh, okay.
We can't be false advertising here.
And buy Doritos.
Mm-hmm. Buy Cool Ranch is the coolest of the ranches.
Yeah.
I'm Robert Evans. You can find me on Twitter at I Write OK, two letters. You can find my book on the internet at A Brief History of Vice. It's on Amazon. And you can find Behind the Bastards online at behindthebastards.com. We're on Twitter at BastardsPod. So check us out. We'll have, you know, some video clips and pictures of this creep on there. And come back Thursday for the stirring conclusion to the story of Keith Raniere, a real piece of shit.